The Digital Book World Conference marked its fifth anniversary this week. With the selection of Brad Stone as a featured speaker, show organizer Mike Schatzkin made plain the central role of Amazon in today's book world, digital or otherwise. Also this week, the Pew Research Center's Internet and American Life Project reported out on a new survey of more than 1,000 U.S. adults. And while e-reading remains in growth mode, ink on dead trees have held their ground and more. Joining me with some numbers from that poll, as well as news and trends in e-books, is Andrew Albany, senior writer for Publishers Weekly. And Andrew, welcome back to Beyond the Book.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, you know, Digital Book World really, has put a stake in the ground around that first word, digital. But this survey from the Pew people tells us something that maybe you and I at least suspected, that Americans are becoming multi-format readers. But to paraphrase our old friend Sam Clemens, the demise of print may be greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right. This week, the Pew Foundation released a survey taken over 4 days in the first week of 2014, and its conclusions are pretty interesting. In a nutshell, Pew reports that, yes, ebooks are continuing to rise in popularity, no surprise there, but print remains, in their words, the foundation of America's reading habits. Now, we, of course, know that because we see the numbers from the industry every month, so we're well aware that print still represents the biggest revenue stream for publishers. But what's notable in the report is that ebooks and print seem to be settling in on some sort of equilibrium, and not an industrial equilibrium for the industry, that is. I mean, an equilibrium for each reader. So this Pew post-holiday survey found that most people who read ebooks are also reading print books, and just 4% of readers are ebook only. Other numbers there that I thought were notable were that almost 7 in 10 adults, it's 69%, have read a book in the past 12 months, while 28% of those have read an ebook and 14% have listened to an audiobook. The report also shows that the digital tide might be raising all boats, as they say. Slightly more Americans in 2013 read a book than did in 2012 holiday season. So, that too is great news for those worried about the current media onslaught and its effects on reading, and you hear all the time that people are reading less. Well, apparently that's not exactly true. There's also some good news there in that, we no longer have a robust book-selling world with borders, and B&N's been cutting locations, and yet readers are still finding books to read, whether it's, getting the book from a bookstore or getting it on their phone. So I think there's some good news to be had there.
Well, this is a point you've made in the past, Andrew, and you've really celebrated the profusion of content, if you will, that has come from new technologies and new devices. So it's not a surprise to our listeners either. And, speaking of new media and this whole onslaught of content, there's another report with some interesting data on the rise of tablets.
Yeah, well, actually, from the Pew report itself, exactly, there was another little nugget here that came out that noted that 42% of adults now own tablet computers. And that's up 8 points from 34% just a few months ago in September, which, of course, suggests that more than a few adults found a tablet in their stocking this holiday season or under the tree or wherever. But, don't bury the dedicated e-reader just yet, because the number of adults who own dedicated e-ink readers also rose, and by an identical margin, 8 points, up to 32% from 24% in September. And here, to me, was sort of the big nugget in that news, is that right now, according to Pew, fully half of all Americans, that's a full 50%, now own either a tablet or an e-reader. And that's up 7 points from this fall as well. That was 43% in September, I believe. So as that number begins to climb up over half, it's going to be interesting to watch the effect on the book business and see if that equilibrium between print and e-books begins to shift.
Well, let's get down to that then. So where does all this data square with what you've been reading and learning about as far as the health of the ebook and book marketplace?
Yeah, for the most part, it squares up. In the last few months, and we've talked about this, and we've seen in a number of reports, ebook sales have been leveling off. And that leveling off seems to, anecdotally at least, be attributable to some of the data that we see in the Pew survey. The Pew survey, of course, suggests that there's a mix of formats that are settling in for the average reader. And I have to say, that sort of squares for me personally as well. I have books on my Kindle, and I have books in print, and, it won't surprise you what the driver usually is, its price. And I'll give you an example. I recently wanted to buy one of my friend's books, which he published a few years ago. It's what we call in the industry a backlist book now. So I went to Amazon and I was going to get it on my Kindle, and it was $10 in a Kindle edition. But it was $6 in paperback. So to me, that was a no-brainer. I took the cheaper paperback option. At the same time, I went to buy a new hardcover release this year, and it was $22 on Barnes & Noble, and it was $14.99 in an ebook edition. So no-brainer. I chose the digital in that instance. And here's yet another example. You know, you and I had dinner this week, Chris, and so you know I could, you know, stand to lose a few pounds. I enjoy my food. So I recently
You're a healthy man, Andrew.
So I went to buy a diet book. You know, it's a new year. I've got a resolution. I want to drop a few pounds. And it was cheaper in digital, but when I was flipping through it, the graphs and the charts didn't render. And you look through the reviews on the digital, and that was a common complaint, that the graphs and the charts didn't render. And also, it was less useful for browsing recipes. So I bought the print. So format too still does matter depending on the content of the book that you're buying. So I think we've always known that the future is going to be one that's sort of all of the above and not an either or for books. But the rise of the tablet market, some of the data that was in this Pew report, I think it should still give publishers pause. Because while the reading numbers are up a bit, which from last year, which is good news, of course, certainly better than being down. A world in which everyone has a tablet and a multimedia tablet that can stream increasingly free and cheap media from a number of sites, well, that's definitely going to impact how people spend their time and money, and increasingly so. In fact, Peter Brantley has a great blog post on the PW site right now that you can check out. It's about that very topic, you know, how we choose to spend our entertainment time and dollars. You know, but we also talked about this in front of a pretty big audience at the Miami Book Fair. You know, yes, you can read on a tablet, but that isn't necessarily why you buy one. And if, you know, any publisher thinks that the Pew report shows that maybe they're managing their digital transition okay, and that maybe they're reaching over into a comfortable spot, I think that may be a dangerous assumption, because more and more people now get used to using tablets and have tablets, the competition for eyeballs on those tablets is going to increase. And as we pass the point where more than half of Americans are now on tablets, I think this is probably the perfect time to really start thinking about how those publishers are going to win consumers' attention in a pretty much digital, all digital realm.
Right. Well, I opened with a note regarding the recently concluded digital book world, and it struck me, just as you said, that publishers and people in content are really recognizing that they are competing against everything now. They're not just competing against other publishers and other books. I had on a panel with me John Taman, who's an author himself, and the CEO and founder of something called Byliner, which specifically delivers short format works from some of the greatest writers in our country. And well, the way John describes it is he wants to be able to give people an experience that's kind of like sneaking out to the theater or watching a movie, you know, something you can read at one sitting in a couple of hours and really feel fulfilled. And I thought that was a great way to think about it. And that really does position book material, or at least narrative material in text, kind of squarely up against the other offerings that are online.
I think that's right. I think Byliner is a great example, so I'm glad that you brought them up. I certainly think the service is very worthwhile, and I've been using it myself and enjoying it. So it's a very good point. And you know, in Monday's issue, we're going to have a full wrap up of Digital Book World, and then also we're off to ALA Midwinter in Philadelphia next week. So you know, do check up on our site for that coverage of that as well. There's sure to be no shortage of announcements and ebook related material coming out of Philadelphia next week.
Well, we'll catch up with you on that news and all the other news from the book publishing industry when we talk again next week, next Friday, with Andrew Albanese, senior writer for Publishers Weekly. And Andrew, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. Follow Beyond the Book on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at our website, beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.